the AgeCo guide to making the most of later life.
Hello and welcome to the second AgeCo podcast. I'm Hannah Duffy, Partnership Manager at AgeCo. I'm joined today by Andy Ridpath, Head of Customer Experience at Taking Care, our trusted provider of AgeCo personal alarms. Andy is here to talk about ways to remain safe and independent in later life and the kind of adaptations people can consider making to their homes. Welcome. It's great to have you with us today, Andy.
Thanks, Hannah. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Most of us want to stay independent as long as possible, but as we get older, one of the biggest considerations is where and how we want to live. That could be staying in our own home, perhaps making adjustments as physical needs change, or taking precautions to ensure personal safety, or perhaps downsizing and moving to a house that is more manageable. But it's not always straightforward. Some people can be hesitant about making changes, asking for support, or accepting that they may need help at all. Andy, our Head of Customer Experience from Taking Care, is here to talk about some of the challenges people face as they get older and the steps they can take to retain their independence. To start us off, Andy, can you help to explain some of the challenges and dangers people face as they get older and how that can affect their independence?
Yeah, certainly can. And I think the first thing I want to say is I'm really keen not to worry any of our listeners unnecessarily. Of course, there are very real challenges and dangers as we all get older, but I want to say right up front that there's also lots we can do to mitigate these risks, and I'm very proud to work with Taking Care in collaboration with AgeCo to enable people to manage that risk, but more importantly, live independently, live well, live safely, being supported by some of the services that we're able to provide through our partnership. We've done some research with YouGov, asking people with older relatives what concerns them most with regard to their loved ones, and three things came out. Concern over how older loved ones could raise the alarm in the event of a fall, how they would get up after a fall, and some concerns regarding loneliness. Now, looking to falls, first of all, well, it's estimated that one in three people over 65 will have a fall within a year, with falls being the number one reason adults are taken into accident emergency departments or hospitals. Now, we know how long someone is on the floor following a fall has a direct correlation to whether they will be admitted to hospital and the length of their stay. The longer someone spends on the floor is strongly associated with serious injury and longer-term health implications, which can result in longer-term care needs and the very real potential for someone needing to move into an established care setting. Yet falls, 74% of falls actually occur within the home, and they can have such far-reaching consequences outside of the injuries and the health implications I've just talked about there. Falls impact confidence and the ability to continue living independently, and that's why it's so important to minimise the potential for falls and ensure the right support provision really is in place. It's so clear to me, and I hear it from our customers, them living well, independently, and with real confidence as a result of taking the right steps and with the right support, and we know that people with the knowledge that someone is there at the end of the phone really does help with that loneliness element of it too.
Wow, number one reason for A&E admissions. That's crazy. Why do you think people fall in the first place?
Well, that's a broad question, Hannah. That's a really broad question. But I think that there are several factors. And again, let's put that into three. I think there are three main categories for that. And this thinking is actually supported by NICE, who are the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence. And these categories really are a sedentary lifestyle, so not moving around very much. This can contribute to frailty, it can contribute to a loss of strength, and this can really impact balance. Moving around really is so important. Health is another key factor in why someone may be at risk of falling. There are certain medical conditions and medications that can increase the risk of a fall. Conditions that lower blood pressure, as an example, and of course, sight and hearing impairments can be disorientating. And the final category that I want to mention is the environment, particularly someone's home. I've already said that nearly three quarters of falls happen in the home. So Trip hazards, stairs, poor lighting, uneven paths are all examples of why someone may fall. And these are particularly exacerbated when combined with health conditions, medication, or someone living a lifestyle where maybe they're not moving around quite so much. We've actually put together a falls risk assessment tool, and this guide is available both on the Taking Care website and on the AgeCo website. So for anyone listening who thinks that they might benefit from understanding their risk of a fall, well, they can check this out. It's free of charge, and we've received quite a bit of positive feedback from people who have taken real benefits away from this assessment.
To prevent falls?
Yeah, I think it's a nice broad subject, but it comes down to taking, in my view, reasonable steps, precautions, and kind of common sense approach, I suppose, to addressing those three areas of focus that I've mentioned. Staying active and staying strong is so important. I can't stress it enough. Looking after your health and your mental well-being. It's so easy to form poor habits, resulting in, I suppose, losing our fitness. And this can lead to being unsteady on our feet, particularly as we get older. Staying active, I can't stress it enough, so, so important. I mentioned looking after your health, and this means getting professional support and care when you need it. I think it's important that we embrace that. Engaging your GPs, social services, or care providers when the time is right, and managing medication that you're on, following the guidance and regularly reviewing that with your GP. Looking after your blood pressure by eating regularly and eating well, with not too much alcohol, it's important that we know our limits. And also looking after your environment and thinking about the journeys that maybe you make in the home most regularly, particularly those maybe if you're in a rush. So like answering the door or the telephone or a quick trip to the bathroom. Clear the routes. I suppose really it's about arranging furniture in such a way that you've got something sturdy to hold on to and making sure there are no trip hazards so that you can steady yourself and move through your home easily without obstruction. Oh, and if your phone is mobile, then take it with you, take it around with you, or at least keep it in the area of your home where you spend most of your time. I'd also say that getting family and friends involved is really important, particularly if you need something moved around the home. Let them do the heavier lifting or those few DIY jobs, having them clear the path in those frequently walked routes within your home. It's a difficult one to consider, but it's important that I mention it. That's about considering whether your home really suits your long-term needs and your situation. No one wants to leave or change their house out of necessity, but I'm here to talk about living safely, well, and independently. So it's only right and proper that I do mention it. I think it's also worth mentioning how some technology-enabled care devices have recently come onto the market with a specific purpose of monitoring someone's behaviour in a non-intrusive fashion. And that's really in order to recognise and alert an individual to a change in behaviour. Something as simple as a change to sleep patterns or not visiting the kitchen as frequently to get a drink. We all know how important sleep and diet are, particularly hydration, to maintaining health. And staying healthy reduces the potential for a fall. So these devices, some of which are wearable, others simply sit in the corner of a room, can be so valuable in spotting a change, maybe before you do or your loved one does, and sending some alerts to make sure that you get the right support. It's about intervening, I suppose, before someone gets into the position of being at greater risk of a fall.
I suppose some of the smart tech gadgets that you've mentioned there, I suppose, additional ones could be like the video doorbells, and could that be perhaps that you can share access with your loved ones and maybe they can check in on you as well? I suppose there's quite a few changes and adaptations you can make at the home to remain living there and remain independent. When do you think's the right time to make changes or seek support? Is there a right time or?
Is there a right time? I think the important thing is to do it sooner rather than later. I want to pick up on something you said there before we jump into that question. I think those video doorbells are brilliant, by the way. Mm. And I spoke there about some of the journeys that you might take in a rush, as an example. And answering the door is a really good example of that. So having a video doorbell that maybe you can see who's there and communicate with the person who's there, just asking them to be patient, I think is a really valuable tool, particularly if you've got relatives, friends, family who are able to kind of monitor that for you as well. So a really useful, very new to the market. In fact, I've seen Ant and Dec do a bit on that where they're accessing those. And so really smart technology, and it's just about using those types of things, as well as the types of technology that we look to provide, which is very much about prevention in the first place and then being there in the event that you need support.
Bathroom as well is one of those areas where I suppose like adapting to have like the handrails and maybe walk-in baths and kind of areas like that, just to make it easier to try and keep the bathroom that you have at your home rather than kind of downsizing or moving to perhaps a bungalow with less stairs, you know, maybe having a stair lift if you've still got, you know, stairs into your house to go upstairs to the bedroom. I suppose there's lots of different adaptations you can make to continue living at home.
Yeah, I think exactly as you said, and I touched on it a little bit just now, which is about keeping the walkways clear. But in addition to this, you can also look to good lighting, as an example, around the home, non-slip mats in places like the bathroom, as you've mentioned, or other rooms that aren't carpeted. But of course, if that's not possible, maybe look into appropriate footwear around the home. Harder-soled slippers, as an example, as opposed to fluffy socks. Simple changes like that, right through to maybe moving into a home with no stairs. So there's a wide range of things. And I think on the subject of mats around the home, again, worthwhile me mentioning that mats need to be in really good condition, don't they? So not rolling up at the edges. There are non-slip liners that you can get to go underneath your mats and your rugs to stop them moving under feet. And there are lots of aids around the home. You touched on handrails in your bathroom, stairs. They can all really help with stability right at the point when you need it, something to grab hold of right at the point when you need it. And I think it's right and proper that I mention at this point that there are other considerations, is to get maybe a wearable personal alarm for use in the event of a fall or an emergency situation. Technology is enabling people to live confidently and independently right across the UK, in fact, right across the world, with new, very easy to use devices coming online all of the time. And having the knowledge that you carry with you a button which links you to a trained professional person within seconds in the event of an emergency really helps people to get out and about with confidence, which helps with fitness, preventing falls in the first place. So it all links. And it's great to live with the confidence that there is a person at the end of the line, accessed by pushing a button, and they have your friends, your family, or the emergency services on speed dial to get the help that you need when you need it. Our research shows that the use of personal alarms can reduce overall hospital admissions in older adults by 50%. That's all a result of getting support nice and quickly.
I suppose, are there people there that perhaps haven't yet fallen and they're thinking, oh, it's not time for me to consider that yet. I'm too young. I'm still quite active. But I suppose prevention, and you've just mentioned that, you know, if 3/4 of the A&E admissions, if you can, you know, reduce that by 50% by having these preventative tools, as it maybe sounds like the right time is before you get to the point that, you know, you may be falling.
Wholeheartedly agree. I always say the simple answer is before you fall. But that's easy said, isn't it? That's really easily said. And I imagine the majority of us would avoid asking or getting help until we need it. And that's very often after the point where we truly need it. And again, going back to research, our research shows that if an older person has incurred a fall, then they're likely to fall again without some form of intervention. And I'm here today because I want to avoid that initial fall. And I hope that our conversation spurs some people to take action. Prevention is better than waiting for a fall to happen, I suppose. And my ask to everyone listening is think about what you need, particularly if you or if you're becoming aware of a loved one who is a little less steady on their feet or on your feet. Just think about whether or not this is the right time to start. I suppose working through, and I hope this podcast really helps, some of the options that are available to people. And I'll also add to that, Hannah, that I think there are some specific circumstances where you may want to introduce some additional support, such as maybe returning home from hospital or recuperating after an illness, or maybe someone who's newly living alone, possibly after a bereavement or a partner moving into some kind of care setting. But the important message here is it's never a bad time to think about preventing a fall. And if I can share a customer story, Betty, who's someone who we support through the provision of a personal alarm. Now, the alarm itself, Betty's alarm itself, was actually purchased for her husband, who was battling cancer at the time. But sadly, he lost his fight and passed away in 2019. But instead of returning the alarm, Betty took it on herself because she was now living alone. Now, Betty had not incurred a fall, but she does live with some medical conditions, some COPD and some mobility issues, meaning that she does lose her balance sometimes. And Betty's actually shared with us, having lived with the alarm for the past few years, and she's happy for me to share as well with anyone who's listening today, how her personal alarm supports her to live confidently and is a lifeline in case she falls. She lives independently in her home, she paints, she writes poetry, and she recently celebrated her 93rd birthday with coffee at the seaside with friends, or with her personal alarm as a source of reassurance, which is great.
And I suppose that gives comfort to her loved ones as well, that, you know, that's there at the touch of a button. If loved ones are concerned about their parents or an older relative, are there any like tips on how to broach the tricky topic if, you know, perhaps their loved ones haven't yet experienced a fall, but maybe suggesting that some extra support may be required at home, like a personal alarm or adaptations or anything like that? Is there any tips that you can help share?
Whew, this is a tricky one, Hannah, this. And I think, as I said earlier, no one wants to be reminded that they're getting older and may need support. And this can be particularly difficult if someone else is saying it to you, isn't it? I mean, recognising it in yourself is one thing, but someone saying it to you, very, very difficult to hear. My first thoughts on that and advice to any family members or friends of older loved ones who may benefit from support is avoid surprising them with it. That's the first thing I would say. Talk about it. A handrail being fitted outside your property or a personal alarm turning up without you knowing about it is not the best way to broach the subject and likely will result in kind of greater resistance, really. So I think talking about it, not surprising people with it, is really, really important. And you're talking about it because you care. And so therefore, I would suggest that you talk about the benefits of whatever support it is that you're looking to put in place for your loved one. Ultimately, this support is about enabling your loved one to continue living independently, safely and well with the support that you're suggesting. They should be able to stay in their own homes longer, limiting the risk of injury or lengthy hospital stays, and with the provision of a personal alarm, have the support ready, waiting and immediately accessible when you need it most. I would say it's about talking about the positives, not surprising people with it. Just want to reiterate, my advice is, you know, get in touch when you think you need it, as this leads to much better health outcomes, more independent living. Try to avoid doing it after a fall. Do it before, because putting these things in place really does have huge health benefits.
Thanks, Andy. This is such an important topic, and you flagged some really great ways for people to stay independent, to continue doing the things they love and living life the way they want to. I think one of the key things we can take away this is do it before, you know, it's too late, leads to better outcomes if you can minimise the risk and get help quicker. We hope you found today's podcast useful. I want to say thanks again to Andy for joining us today and from Taking Care, our trusted provider of aged care personal alarms. To find out more, you can always head to our website, www.ageco.co.uk. Thank you.
AgeCo is 100% owned by Age UK and gives its profits to the charity, enabling them to support those older people most at need.